So this morning is November 2nd, and we're in the first lesson of the social book. It's a lesson on rejection. And oftentimes people are curious how it is that I got involved with the Victorious Christian Living Ministries and what it is about that ministry that attracted me that I would quit working, trying to make money, and start working to make disciples with the rest of my life. And today, November 2nd, is my son Christopher's birthday. He's 31 today. And when I was 31 years old, which was a couple days ago, I went to the first ever experience of the training that at that time Victorious Christian Living was called Neues Leben, then it became Neues Leben, then nobody could spell that and write it on checks, so we went to VCL, so when people wanted to support it, they wouldn't be embarrassed that they didn't know how to spell the German name Neues Leben, which is actually pronounced a little different than that, but I won't do my German dialect for you today. Anyway, I was 31 years old, and my wife encouraged me to go to this week-long seminar every night of a week. So I took a week's vacation from Northwestern Steel and Wire, and I borrowed a camper from the Stanleys that just lived down the road here, a pop-up camper, and we set that up at the Neues Leben farm. And the first night that we went there, they taught a lesson on sin that they entitled Godship. And as I listened to that lesson, I could see family and friends who had a problem with that, but none of that really related to me. And the second lesson of that evening was a lesson on rejection. And it was taken from a ministry out in Colorado that some of the members of the ministry had been involved with. And, you know, I sit there and listened to that lesson, looked at the diagrams, and honestly answered the questions, and that was my life story at 31 years of age. I was living a life in the rejection cycle, and I was experiencing the living death. Even though I'd become born again, still some of the psychological and social patterns in my life were causing a living death in my life. And as they went through that lesson, it was the pattern that I had unconsciously chose to be the identity factor in my life. That was who I was. I lived in that pattern at that time. And at that time, all they would do was help you see the problem. But I left there and went down and built a fire by the camper and was just devastated at the problem in my life and the revelation. And what impacted me is these people actually know what my problem is. Now, they hadn't got to the solution yet. And when you see the completed diagram today, because of the integration and involvement over the last 19 years in the ministry, now we actually talk about the solution in the same context as the problem. And God was gracious to let me be involved in helping that little whoop-de-doo happen to the diagram. But the point of it is, I saw the fact of the mess of my life. And this diagram made a major change. And for years, when we would go internationally to teach these things, they would always let me teach this lesson because it was a life that I did. Now, here's the key scripture. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, and I use the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't repay evil for evil," period. "Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do, and He will bless you for it." So the point of the scripture is, don't do tit for tat. Don't, when people reject you, don't reject them back. But that is the general tendency in our fleshly patterns, when we're walking after the flesh. If somebody kicks you in the shins, the natural result is to spin kick and stick your heel in their ear, right? Some of us, that's the natural response that we have. But that's a fleshly pattern. And what we're looking at here is returning love for rejection. That's the end product we'd like to get to. So let me draw a diagram for you this morning, and we're going to talk about this concept of rejection. And in drawing our diagram, I want you to draw a circle and put a number one in this. And point number one on this rejection pattern is, I think I've been rejected. or I feel unloved. When we define rejection in the ministry, we define rejection as any withholding of love, whether it be knowingly or unknowingly. So can you see the two parts of your soul that we just studied in the psychological book demonstrated here? I think I've been rejected, or I feel unloved. And in your soul, you have your thinking, your feeling, and your choosing, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And these are two of them. Can you, at this point in time, if I was asking you to stand up and explain to me what you're thinking, could you do that? At this point in time, could you stand up and explain to me what your emotional state is? See, as part of being discipled, we need to be in touch with what's going on inside us. And many of us grow up and live life for years and never are able within ourselves to discern whether that's a thought or an emotion. Does that make sense to you? It's a critical thing for you to understand who you are in being discipled. And when you get into situations where you think you've been rejected, to honestly understand that that's a thought process. It's not an emotional process. Now, there are some emotional things that will happen to you in rejection as well. But being able to disseminate and discern which of those is going on, in a real life experience, I would like you to be able at any given point in time to tell people, anyone, honestly, this is what I'm thinking and this is what I'm feeling and this is what I'm choosing based on those thoughts and emotions. Do you understand how that could be very practical to your living a victorious, glorified, enjoyable Christian life? It does take place in here. Now, the second point on our outline, I want you to make this circle just a little bit bigger than all the rest of them and put a number two in there. And at this point on the diagram, I choose. I choose something. And I'll give you two different electives that you could choose from. But most of the time, boy, that doesn't even look like choose, does it? It's supposed to be two O's in there. Let me fix this. I don't want to get rejected because I can't write. C-H-O-O. Okay. I choose, and that's your will. You make a choice, conscious or unconscious. When you adopt the identity of a rejectable, rejected person, you will make conscious and unconscious choices to agree with that identity of who you are. And in this point, you choose to allow those thoughts and feelings to control you. You choose to allow the thoughts of being rejected or the feelings of being unloved to control you. Now, it's really easy to do that. To allow those things. It's the natural way of reacting to the rejection, is you foster those things. Julie and I were reading a devotion this morning that was reminding us to look on the good, the bright, the true, the pure, the holy. We studied those just a few weeks ago in our lessons, didn't we? But when you're in this rejection cycle, or when you're experiencing rejection from people, it's really easy to focus on how they're treating you or how they're not treating you. Does that make sense? How many of you can come up with instances in your life where you've been rejected and you've allowed those thoughts and feelings to just control and go on? Now, what happens is that leads us over here to another circle that we'll later as number three. And then at this point in time, and at point number three on your diagram, you react, I react, based on those things. So I react. Now, I will normally react in one of two ways. We've watched this cycle for years in people's lives, and you will do one of two things. One of them is that you will reject the rejector. And the other one is that you'll try harder to please. And those are the normal two patterns that people fall into. Now, I chose the one where I was going to reject the rejector. My son came to me several years ago and he says, "Dad, you know, once I started work in construction, I heard that you used to get into a lot of fights. Did you win many?" I said, "Well, some, not really that many." He said, "What would happen?" "Well, somebody would reject me. I would, before they got a chance, I'd just hit them." And it's not a very profitable way, you know, to live life. This morning I was riding a very socially acceptable motorcycle to church. Beautiful day, riding the BMW to the church. And that's a socially acceptable motorcycle. But there was a period in my life when I was 30-some years of age when I would pull up next to cars in 100-degree weather before air conditioning was popular. And I would be sitting there with my scraggly beard and my scraggly long hair on this outlaw motorcycle. And fathers would literally tell their daughters to roll up the windows and lock the doors in the car. At the sight of me sitting at the stop sign, knowing how hot it is in a car with the windows closed. But I lived a life of rejection at that time. Have fun. We go out, ride scooters late at night, drinking beer, doing drugs, doing all kinds of other things that weren't really good. And then we'd go into the restaurants late at night and have fun flicking bugs out of our beards and our hair at people in the restaurant, which is not really a socially acceptable event, is it? Or getting a big crunchy one and just eating it, you know, just a, you know. We lived a life in those days of believing that we were rejected. I believed I was rejected, never going to fit in. And so I might as well just enjoy the life of being a rejectable person. Now, I have other friends in my life and people that I've ministered to over the years that adopted the other pattern of trying harder to please. I know people, Julie and I minister to people in Arizona and all over the world. I know people who have spent their whole lives trying to prove that they aren't rejectable. Some significant other in their past, most of the time it's fathers or mothers or teachers, say something to them that you're never going to be anything or you're never going to be of any value. And they spend the whole rest of their life trying harder to please to disagree with that thought or feeling of rejection or being unloved. You might know people like that. They spend their whole life trying as hard as they can to be perfect or as close to that as they can so that they are acceptable. Now, I realize that I just didn't have the wheels and the gears to get that done. You know, years ago, I am never going to make it at being acceptable. I know myself too well. So I adopted the other one that I'm just going to reject other people first before they get a chance to reject me. Now, when I would do that, that would lead almost immediately to another point number one where I would think and feel that I had been rejected. And that would confirm my decision of number two, that I was rejectable, which it didn't. Shortly then, when I would react by rejecting other people, that would get me to another, and it led to a living death cycle. When I did the psychological evaluation for this campaign for stem cell, the psychiatrist said, "Have you ever had thoughts of suicide?" I said, "Yes." "Have you ever attempted suicide?" I said, "Yes." Which, she, you know, recently, I said, "No, back when I was a teenager, I lost my driver's license for 3 months one summer when I was a teenager for reckless driving, got my driver's license back, and within the next 6 months, totally destroyed three really nice cars in massive car crashes. And really, I had got to the point in my life where life wasn't worth living. It wasn't anything I wanted to continue. And so I thought the really cool thing to do would be to go out in a blaze of glory, flip cars end for end several times, smashed them into things, destroyed things. And it was a point in my life where the living death cycle had just overwhelmed my life. Now, somewhere along the line in there, I got some hope and walked away from that idea. Could have been one of the times that I woke up in the hospital with stitches and broken ribs and so on and so forth. And it could have been that I just made the decision I wasn't even successful at killing myself. I'm rejectable at doing that. Anyway, I stopped trying to do that. And at 30-some years of age, when I was looking at this diagram for the first time, I realized why I had done a number of those things. Is I had chosen to allow the things that happened to me to define who I am. Remember last week in our lesson we were talking, don't let your experiences define who you are, let God define your experiences. Remember those two sentences? That's good text work. Debbie and Eric did really good job on those. Don't let the experiences you have in life define who you are. Let God define your experiences. And what happened, I was a new believer, and the church that I was going to wasn't really a part of a discipleship program, but I desperately, if there was a victorious Christian life, if there was an opportunity to understand how I worked and change that, I wanted to do that. And so this scripture and this lesson helped me to understand how practically to do that. Now, in the old days, there used to be a qualifying list of these are the situations that you will find yourself in if you're involved in rejection. Now, I think we have like 10 or 11 of those in our books now. Boy, I get my mouth close to that microphone. It's loud. Yeah. There's like 11 of them here. I refuse to communicate. I have difficulty tolerating them. I say only what they want to hear. I'm critical, judgmental. I spend little time with them. I don't trust them. I say hurtful things to them. There's only 11 on that list. But when I went through the first conference, there was 28. And they had little boxes that you could check. And I checked 25 of 28. They were a part of my life. I mean, that was one of the first tests I had passed in a long time. I scored really well on that test, right? Only to realize that I was failing at life because I had adopted the identity of rejection. And you probably, like me, have people in your life that you will still struggle with this concept. Significant people in your life that have rejected you in the past. Oftentimes, it's family members and parents and grandparents and pastors and teachers and so forth. Significant people who have rejected you, and that will cause you to allow things in your life to determine. Now, living in the rejection cycle, now we only have 8 of these on this page, but in those days, there was 30. There were 30 of these things, like I take personally everything people say. I was quite confident that when I entered a room, if two people were talking over there, they were talking about me. You know what I mean? You ever have that happen to you? I cling like a leech to those people who finally do accept me. I'm filled with worries, doubts, and fears. Can you relate with that? I feel guilty. I try hard to please. I never did make it as a perfectionist. But the idea, if I was perfect, then I wouldn't be rejected. Now, this one I did relate with. I'm irresponsible, undisciplined, and I don't really care. And I think life isn't worth it. Those were common factors in my life. And out of those 30, I think I scored 20 plus of them. So I got a really good grade on flunking that test as well. But as you look at these, look at for the behavioral patterns in your life that you have allowed to happen. Now, as I've had the blessing of being involved with the Victorious Christian Living Ministry, there's a new part to this diagram. And this is, I choose to believe. I am. All these things that Ephesians chapter 1 says, I am blessed. Now, oftentimes when you greet me, even on this Sunday morning, you'll say, hey, how are you doing? And I will say, I think I'm blessed. Or I believe I'm blessed. Sometimes I think it, and sometimes I actually believe it. And so from now on, you can just listen and tell where I'm at. But I think I'm blessed. People think there's something mentally, seriously deranged with me that I tell them I think I'm blessed with bone cancer. when I met my general practitioner this last Wednesday up at the hospital, she greeted me in the waiting room with this great big smile and says, "You're passing all your tests with flying colors. I'm so excited." You know, we were leaving and Julie says, "Well, wasn't that good?" I said, "Well, yeah, except for being riddled with bone cancer, I'm a healthy person." You know, but I believe that this is a blessing in my life because of what it's causing me to choose and what it's causing me to experience and people that I'm able to relate to that I couldn't relate to before. So it is a blessing, and I could go down this whole list. I don't have enough space, but I am chosen, which is another one of the things that it says. I'm holy. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 say, "How we praise God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Because we belong to Christ, long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His family, to bring us to Himself through Christ Jesus, and to give us, and this gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness He has poured out on all of us because we belong to His dearly beloved Son. He was so rich in kindness as and purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son Jesus. And our sins are forgiven. And He has showered us with kindness along with all wisdom and understanding." So when you look at this diagram, we could choose to make a different decision. We could choose to make a different choice. You don't have to allow those things to control you. What you could do is you could make a different choice that would get you over here to a new point, number 3, which is that you choose to respond in love to the people that reject you. So rather than react, I respond. I respond after the Spirit in love to those people. Now, I get the privilege on a regular basis to go to pastors' meetings and visit with pastors. And I'm surprised at how many people who pastor churches don't really get along so well with the people that they pastor. I don't know whether you've seen that in our culture or you've seen that in our community, but it happens. And they're always astonished when they say, "I get along really well with the people in my church." And actually, right now we're all getting along pretty well with each other. And the fact of the matter is, when God asked me if I'd be willing to be your pastor, there were 2 things that He asked me. And one of them is, do you love them people? And my honest response is, heck, I don't know. They just asked me to fill their pulpit for a while. But I went home from the Bible study that I was leading and told Julie, if I respond yes to that, I should probably take the job. I decided over a period of 2 weeks after looking each one of you in the eyes that I loved each one of you, even though I didn't know you yet, right? I decided that I would love you before I even got to know you. And when you and I make decisions out of that nature, it fosters a totally different relationship. I choose to love you before I hear or know what's going on. I choose to love you before I know the behavioral patterns in your life. That pattern leads then to an ongoing where you experience love and acceptance from people, which fosters the choice to believe who God says you are. And it continues in the same opposite direction. I can't get all of that on my whiteboard up there. But it leads to a living life cycle rather than a death cycle. Choosing to love rather than choosing to allow the experiences to define you will lead to a love cycle where when you actually love people and like people, generally, they will love and like you back. Right? If you choose to reject people, they will generally reject you back. So you could live this other life cycle based on believing what God says about you, of being blessed and holy and forgiven and redeemed and adopted. So that's the idea that we want to communicate to you. It has absolutely revolutionized my life, totally changed how I live. And I believe that God's Word, God's Spirit, and these patterns could do that in your life as well. Marty's going to lead us in a closing song, and it's in your hymnal in 308. We are washed in the blood.